poet said one time that this is the time of sorrows. Friday and Saturday were my time of sorrows. My computer crashed. And you'll never believe what all it took to get this sermon ready and do the bulletin. So just one of those things that we are in the land of sorrows, as the song says, but we nevertheless press on. So we're good to see you this morning. Happy to have our visitors here this morning, and really do look forward to our study together. Through the years of preaching, I've seen many people fall away. In fact, in the different times that I've gone through a neighborhood and canvassed the neighborhood about a religious survey, I found a lot of people that said they used to be members of the Church of Christ. They'd fallen away. I remember we were working door-to-door in North Carolina to build up a new congregation in Morehead City, and I met a lady that said, "Oh, I'm so glad the church is coming here. I've been waiting for it for years." And we didn't know her. She hadn't been attending at all, and she never came after we started the congregation there. So you see this with some people, and this leads to the lesson this morning, the idea in Hebrews chapter 3 beginning that we look at, and the idea of how to prevent falling away or backsliding. If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 3, I actually want to begin with a scripture a little bit early in that. I want to begin with verse 7, where the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about the falling away of the Israelites and how God was trying to work with them. And he said, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the days of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they all always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest." Now the point of that in verse 12, as he made the application, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." It's something that that labels unbelief as an evil heart. And when you look back at the Israelites, through not only the 40 years, but all during their time in the Promised Land, so many times they had a lack of faith. Romans 9:32, the Apostle Paul said of Israel, the reason they were not a part of the kingdom of God, they sought it not by faith. So the lack of faith is said in the book of Hebrews to see that ever-present sin, that ever-present with us, the sin that does so easily beset us. And as we recognize that that's the truth, you do see people. I imagine every one of you knows someone who used to be a faithful Christian, and they've sort of fallen away. So the book of Hebrews gives us some admonition about this, and I've spent a lot of my work as a preacher chasing lost sheep. Just one of those things I believe in. I try to bring people back to the Lord, and yet you find sometimes people more interested in football games than they are in the Lord's church. So it's a sorrow, and the fact that we're losing people that could be of service to the cause of Christ. We need to talk about that a little bit and recognize what we need as we hope this passage goes forward. And the idea of backsliding is to slide backward in morals or religious enthusiasm. That's Webster's dictionary. But what I would say is to become less faithful. And you see many people who are that way in the community around us, that just don't have the faith to keep going when the going gets rough. And I've brought up with some the book of Job. Book of Job is a book that many point to as a book that defines suffering, and it really does, because Job was very much a suffering servant. But it's a bigger, really, lesson than that in the book of Job. As the devil appears before God, he brings an accusation against Job, that he's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible tells us. And what it was accusing Job of, that you've only got a servant because you've made him wealthy. He's got children, he's got flocks and herds, and he's got all these things. And if you took all that away from him, he wouldn't be faithful anymore. So God allowed the devil to take everything but his life, and he lost so many physical things and lost his children in a terrible storm. And yet Job remained faithful. And that's the point of the book of Job, actually, that the child of God says, I will remain faithful when it's not convenient. That I'm not only serving God when it's convenient and pleasant, when I have a good, faithful congregation, but I'm going to serve God regardless of the circumstances. Now, that's what's lacking in the heart of those who fall away. Tonight I want to talk about conviction, because these two things go together so very much, as you realize that this church would be much bigger if we had the people of our community that are no longer faithful, and we certainly don't want to lose any more in that sense. So how are we going to prevent backsliding? Well, first of all, we're talking to Christians who are here. Let God say something to us every day. We talk about the idea of reading the Bible on the daily basis. Up on the front row, you have an attitude of a pamphlet that shows how to read the Bible every day and be able to understand that God is speaking to us. And so we listen to God, not walk in darkness. And the idea of listening to God, it's a light under our feet and a lamp under our pathway. And I think I got the lights reversed. It's a lamp under our feet and a light to our pathway. Psalms 119 and verse 105. And then in 1 John, John was battling a group of people who had the understanding in their minds that they could live a sinful life and still be in fellowship with God. And that's impossible. So in 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 6, John says, verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandment is a liar, the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. I love the epistles of John because they repeat again and again the idea that we can know God. We've been accused by denominational bodies of not being sure of our salvation because we reject the idea of once saved, always saved. They said, well, you don't know when you are saved. And yes, we do. The Bible very clearly tells us that when we walk in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins and we have fellowship with him. Now, there are those who are hypocrites, and they say we are Christians when we're not. And in verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John introduces the idea of walking in the light. That's in chapter 1. Chapter 2 tells us what it is to walk in the light. That is, keep his commandments and do the will of God. And when we do those things, then God will strengthen us. So in order to really draw that strength, we need to read the scriptures. And we say, well, we know the Bible. I've read it before. But the point is, we need to read it all the time and keep it in front of us and keep it in our minds. And when you recognize that God is speaking to us, we need to let him do that. And in John 1 in verse 9, going back to the Gospels, I should have made those a little bit larger, I suppose. I'm not sure that you can see them. I didn't realize they were that small. So you'll have to squint like I do. But the idea, of course, is that Jesus Christ is the light, and we receive strength from that. And so that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. That agrees with Psalms 119:105 very clearly. Jesus was saying the same thing. We walk in the light and we understand then what we ought to be doing. And we take delight in listening to God's Word. And I'd like to ask you to think of yourself personally. Does it intrigue you? Does it interest you in reading the Bible and having it always with you? Do you have a Bible that you sort of feel like it's a friend and you have used it so much you can turn to a passage? When somebody says a passage, you know what side of the page it's on because you're that much familiar with the Bible. David said, beginning in Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Then it talks about he was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The idea is there is strength for the child of God in reading the Bible. Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To the degree that you let the Word of God speak to you, that's going to be an element of your faith. And if you find yourself doubting or having problems and questioning, then it's because we have not drawn the strength from the Bible that we're able to. So we're commanded to learn of God. Study to show yourself approved of God. Workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe that that statement, rightly dividing, while it includes the idea of knowing the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the idea of rightly dividing is that the Bible gives to each one what he needs. You rightly divide the word of God. There are truths that are there for children. There are truths that are there for teenagers. There are truths that are there for new Christians. There are truths that are there for mature Christians. And the more we become people of the book, the stronger we're going to be. And so if you have any questions at all about faithfulness or where you belong, then we need to listen to the Word of God every day. But also, say something to God every day. Is God in your life on a daily basis? Do you go days and days when you only do mundane things? Or do you have appointed times, like Daniel in captivity? He prayed 3 times a day. Facing Jerusalem, because that's where his heart was. He wanted to be back in that promised city. And he made it a part of his schedule to do that. Now, you can call that legalistic if you want to, but you know, you can pray more than 3 times a day. And let me tell you, there have been times when I've prayed in my car because I didn't know whether I was going to be alive the next mile or not. And so you do that when you let God say something to you every day. And of course, you thank him for the blessings. I really believe that there are times when we ought to pray and ask for nothing. I believe there are times when we just say to God how much we appreciate his mighty works. You notice in the Psalms, and David often talks about the mighty works of God. And I've been trying to include that in my Thanksgiving prayers more as I think about the mighty works of God, from creation through the plan of redemption to the giving the Israelites a plan of redemption to bringing Christ into the world, the mighty works of God. And he still has work to do in the coming judgment and the end of the world and establishing a home for us. Jesus said in John 14, "I go away, but I'm going to come again. And I have a home. I'm going to prepare a home for you." And so we need to understand that. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You may not be able to read that from where you are, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about thanksgiving and how much we really need to do that. And let that be a part of our life. In beginning with verse 17, Paul said, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So God wants us to thank him, and we have every reason to do that. So we say something to God every day. And the point of this lesson about prayer, and I like the way this is stated, prayer will stop sin, or sin will stop prayer. There used to be a saying when people went to dancing, that a dancing foot and a praying knee was not on the same leg. And the idea that you're given over to the world and worldly things means that sometimes you're just not able to pray. But we need to pray and let things be known to God. So turn to Psalm 66 again and notice how much we need to remember that. And this is something that's very personal. We pray in the assembly. assemblies, we always have two or three prayers in the assembly, especially around the Lord's table. But this is something very personal. There needs to be a time in everybody's life when you and God spend time together, just the two of you. God is able to understand the prayers of everybody. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that whenever you stop, bow your head, and express your prayer to God, He's listening. And each one of us needs to do that. We need to have a one-on-one understanding about God and what He does for us. So in Psalm 66 and verse 18, the writer said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." But then he says in the next verse, "Certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." David many times sang his prayers. That's where the Psalms come from. But he understood something, that God will not hear the voice of iniquity. And so if I'm doing something wrong, in fact, 1 John again deals with that when it deals about walking in darkness. The oppositional phrase is walk in light and walk in darkness. The walk in darkness is described by John as you knowing that you're doing something wrong and you're going to do it anyway. For that person, there is no forgiveness. When you know that you're walking in darkness and you don't repent and stop that sort of thing, when you're not walking in the light, then God will not hear our prayers. And so this is statement is true, that sin will stop prayer, but prayer will stop sin. And if we yield ourselves, part of the life of a Christian, sometimes I think is not really mentioned as much as it ought to be, is the yielding of your spirit to God. They called Him Master, and so He is. He is the Lord of the kings of the earth. He's the Son of God. And there needs to be an understanding of that when I pray to Him, that God will not hear the prayer of a wicked man, but when you're walking in the light, you know that He hears you. So every day as you pray, you're saying something to God every day. And we use James 5:16 in the bulletin all the time because I really believe it, and it is connected to the illnesses of the church and what's happening in the life of our members. And that is that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe that just like I believe Genesis 1. I believe that just like I do Acts 2:38. God will listen to our prayers, especially if you're living a righteous life. And we all need to have that before us. Then the idea is say something for God every day. And I'm talking about how to prevent backsliding. That is, if you are a child of God and you understand salvation, then share God with others. Talk to others about God. Don't be ashamed of it. Have you ever asked anybody, like a relative or a friend, "Have you been baptized for the remission of sins?" Now, that's sort of bold, but that's an opening. And they can criticize you or be mad, or they can say, "Yes, I have," and that opens up the conversation. I encourage you to start saying something to people around you, because that in itself will be a preventive to backsliding, because you're willing to do something for God every day, and our conduct should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That is such a rich thought that Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 27, "Walk worthy of the gospel." And if I've been enriched with the gospel of Christ, which I have, then my life reflects that. I missed Bobby Holmes this morning. He often says in his prayers that we hope that people will see Jesus living in us. And that's the way we ought to be, that we're different from the world. In fact, Peter calls us peculiar people, odd people. Not because we're strangely peculiar, but because we're set aside, we're sanctified people. Now, if I know the truth, and here's one of the songs that I don't like to sing, and yet it really brings it home. "You never mentioned Him to me." That strikes deep in me, because I know there's occasions when I should have said something to someone that is lost, and I never mentioned Him to them. And it haunts me that that's a failure in my life. And so I'm trying to prepare myself even at this age to be more bold about that and ask people, have you been baptized for the remission of sins? You've got a scripture to support it, and they need to hear that sort of thing as one worthy of the gospel. Look for opportunities to share the word, whether the printed bulletins in the back. Keep those in your car, keep them in your purse, or however way you can carry them, and give them away. That's what they're there for, to give them away. Now, I understand that the brethren in Ethiopia began many years ago because someone mailed tracts into Ethiopia, and people read those and believed and contacted them to come and baptize them into Christ. Here's the point where you never know what's going to happen. And so take a tract. Take a bulletin. Do something to let people know that you're a member of the church and you're giving them something to read. There's a wonderful tract back there by James Cope. It's been written many years ago, and Brother Cope is dead now. But it says the New Testament church. It has so many scriptures in it. Some people will throw it in the trash. That's one of the best tracts ever written that talks about the Lord's church and gives the scriptures, and it intrigues people if they'll read the scriptures to understand the Lord's church. And so there's a lot of tracts back there that are good for us to be able to use in evangelism. And men and women alike can be evangelistic as we think about those things. So do something for God every day. Do something good for people. There's a passage in Galatians 6 that really is applied to individuals because it talks about the first part of chapter 6 talks about what a man can do. Then in verse 10 it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. We have a lot of sick folks here. And a card given, a phone call given, just to let them know that they're in your prayers and that you think about them all the time. We'll cheer them up. And so we do good deeds. Others should see our good work. That's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's one thing Brother Nickel has been stressing in his classes. Not just for our own good, not just for the church, but to glorify God. And I think he brought that to my attention in a way that I hadn't thought about before. Anything we do for good is not in vain. Anything we do for God is not in vain. It doesn't care if people recognize it. It doesn't care if people see it. You're doing it for God. And the Apostle Paul affirms that everything that you do for God will not be forgotten, but God will understand. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's a passage that's familiar to me, but I like to read it because it says so much good. Chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to say that anybody who does that will never fall away. The person who recognizes that and lives that kind of life will never fall away. And then we need to recognize too that, as we've said, let God say something to you every day. Say something to God every day. Pray without ceasing. Say something for God every day. And do something for God every day. When people do that, they're not going to lose interest. You're going to be interested in the souls of people that are lost. You're going to be interested in doing things for other people. This Jesus said, if you give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, he knows that. He understands that. And you don't do it for recognition. You do it simply because you're doing something for God. Hope and pray that this is not a problem. I really don't think it's a problem among us, except with some who have fallen away. And I find myself with them out chasing sheep. I do that because I don't want them to fall away. But you can also be an instrument for good. Remember those who are not here. Get your membership directory. Look around. Who's not here? Send them a note. We've got some little notes on the back there with the tracts. We've missed you. And that says a lot. It's got an envelope there. All it really needs is your comment and signature. You can send that to somebody who doesn't come very often and encourage them not to fall away. Hope and pray that this lesson is good for us from the standpoint of being sure that we're faithful to God. Every congregation needs an element of people that are steadfast, immovable, unyielding for the cause of Christ. I believe we have that here. We will always do better if we want to get to heaven and bring somebody with us. We certainly hope that that's true. If you're present this morning, you're not a child of God, I'd like to encourage you to obey the gospel. I said a moment ago, have you been baptized for the remission of sins? Each of you needs to look at that and see whether or not you have, because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't been baptized, you're not saved. It's just simply the words of Christ in application of that. So if we can help you in any way, obey the gospel of Christ or encourage you, we'd like to ask you to come forward and make that known while we stand together and while we sing. Will you come?